Brothers and sisters, this morning we'll spend a little time with that wedding story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 22 through 26, tell us about Jesus' activities during Holy Week leading up to Maundy Thursday and his crucifixion then on Good Friday. Jesus spent much of that time in the temple courts preparing his disciples for the future. In particular, he was preparing them for what life on this earth would be like between his ascension and his return on the last days. In other words, he wasn't just preparing those disciples living with him at that time, but he's preparing all of us disciples of all time. At the end of Matthew chapter 24, Jesus asks a question. He says, "Who is the faithful and wise servant?" The story he tells then in today's gospel reading addresses who is that wise servant. And the story he tells in next Sunday's gospel lesson is about the faithful servant. Now, as we look at the wedding story, as Jesus tells it in Matthew 25, it's pretty important to recognize that weddings in Jesus' day are a whole lot different from our wedding customs. In fact, most of our wedding customs come from the Roman culture as opposed to the Jewish culture. Wedding ceremonies as we know them, wedding rings, bride and groom kissing, those are all Roman customs. In Jesus' community and faith, weddings took place like this. The bride and his friend, or the groom and his friends, would go to the bride's house and pick up the bride, and then they would come to take her to the groom's house, where there would be a banquet and a celebration. This gathering would include guests invited to celebrate with them. Now, in today's story, as Jesus tells it, for some unexplained reason, the groom is delayed. Those waiting on the trail to his house grow weary, eventually fall asleep. Around midnight, the word comes that the procession is on its way. They are woke up, okay? Five in the group are wise because they have brought along extra oil for their lamps. And five are foolish. They run out of oil. They can't borrow any, so they have to run off to buy some in the middle of the night. While they're gone, the procession arrives. The guests go in. The doors are locked. By the time the five foolish ones return, it's too late to get in. What's the point? Well, I think in order to recognize a point, we need to know a couple of images that are pretty consistent in the biblical narrative. One is that the groom is the Messiah. It's Jesus. Thus, throughout the ages, the church, the Christian church, has been known as the bride of Christ. Eternity in heaven, also, is often referred to as a wedding banquet. Thus, the picture that Jesus paints is Christ the Messiah returning on the last day to take his people with him to the place prepared before eternity to be with him in his home throughout eternity. And in that story, it presents two very important things for us to note. First is that Jesus' return appears delayed from the human perspective, which means basically he could come at any time or the time when we least expect. And secondly, all people in the world have all the time in the world to get ready, but once he returns, if you're not ready, it's too late. Thus, as his people, we are called to be constantly prepared for his return. Now, the people of God throughout the ages have found this to be challenging in a couple different ways. There have been times when people have said, felt like it was so imminent that Christ was coming that they stopped everything in life just anticipating his return at any second. This seems to have been a problem for some in the early Christian church. In fact, Paul addresses that in his second letter to the Thessalonians. He says, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living." Occasionally we've seen this kind of behavior in cults, and sometimes when life gets kind of crazy and people start saying, "Wow, it's going to be any time now," and they just want to sit around and wait. Now the other challenge is that the delay can become so long that we get distracted and we're no longer prepared when the Lord returns. Historically, that first concern was more in the first century, and since then, I think this long delay has been most of the centuries since. Now, the Bible tells us that there are two ways to get to the last day: death or Christ's return. When growing up, we used to play the board game Monopoly. I don't know if it's been updated or changed since my childhood, but there was a stack of cards called chance cards. And one of those cards said, "Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. And you would pick your token up and you would pass all the other spaces and plop down in jail. Death is sort of like that, except we don't plop down in jail. We plop down at the last day. When the day of our death comes, we are picked up and we are carried over all the events that are going to happen in the history of the world after we're gone, and we're plopped down on Judgment Day. And somehow the Bible tells us that we all get there at the same time. Even the people who are still alive and see Christ descending on that day. And while we have our entire lives to become and stay prepared for his coming, when we get to the last day, and remember there's two ways to get there, right? Death or Christ's return. When we get there, we're either in or out. Now think about it. Which is more predictable? When we're going to die or when Christ is going to return? Christ's return, huh? No matter what people say, no one can predict. Every era has its own symptoms of the birth pains. I've heard many people in the last year or so talking about how imminent it must be, but still the groom delays. On the other hand, there certainly are times when we can sense death drawing near. But not always. Death often comes suddenly, like a thief in the night. It might be an accident, might be violence, might be a heart attack, it might be COVID-19. No age, no sex, no ethnic is immune. We have really no idea who among us right here might be next. So the question is, are you prepared? Only one thing prepares us: faith in Jesus. Faith which is given and nurtured only one way, through the Holy Spirit working in word and sacrament. Receiving Christ in his word and sacrament on an ongoing basis is then the only way to stay prepared. which is why the community of the church is so important. I received an email from a friend this past week telling of a loved one of theirs who had died very suddenly of COVID-19. And the friend was concerned because she feels as though there are many in her family who are not prepared for the last day. She's feeling helpless, scared that many in her family will not end up at the wedding banquet. I believe, my friends, that's the number one reason why we are called not to be lazy, just waiting around for Christ's return. The world needs us. Christ's return, one way or another, is imminent. It's going to come as a surprise, and then it's too late. Jesus told these stories shortly before he died because these were the most pressing issues on his mind. He wanted to make sure that you and me and all people are prepared and to be active in helping getting others to be prepared with us. Many in our world have not heard the good news, but many others are distracted. Their lives are getting off course. They're wandering away. And you know what? That can happen to you and me as well. It can also happen to our loved ones, to our neighbors, and our friends. So when Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour," he is not telling us that we should become couch potatoes sitting around watching the television. But rather he's saying, get ready and stay ready and do what you can to help everyone you know. Lord Jesus, keep us prepared as you also keep us active in keeping others ready for your return. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep us ready and active until his return. Amen. I invite you to rise for our time of prayer.